This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
This is Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. You can watch Liberty Conspiracy every Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter/X feed at Gard Goldsmith. You can also check out my Substack, the Garden Goldsmith Substack. And if you are so inclined, you can also check out my work for mrctv.org. Thanks so much for tuning in, and thank you again for believing in the principles of individual liberty. Let me give you this one. Let me see. Where is it? Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Here's Forbes. This is from what year? Just up to 2023. Yeah, this is about a year ago. May 2023, with all the pop-ups and all the ridiculous stuff that keeps coming around here. Revenues build for charge enterprises as its EV charger business grows. Here it is. So now I could have done one of many, many stories like this, okay? But this is just absolutely going. They have the thing parked out in front of a Whole Foods, right? The charging car, and they've got Charge Enterprises doing their thing. And they were also going to get involved with telecommunications, right? There's the CEO. His name is Andrew Fox. He's the founder. Ah, what a wily, wily fox he is. The ink on Charge Enterprises' bottom line isn't yet black, but looking at the company's first quarter results, its founder and CEO, Andrew Fox, has every confidence it won't be long until they won't be in the red. Oh, okay. Remember I told you, I want to look into these guys. Now, I still haven't found whether or not they got federal grants, but I think they might have gotten some help from the California government. I'm going to look into that a little more, but I'm about 75 to 80% sure. I got to do some more digging on this. It's a difficult and expensive proposition, but based on its latest financial results, the four-year-old company is closing in on becoming profitable. With Chief Financial Officer Leah Schweller stating in a release that she expects Charge to deliver a before-tax profit by the first quarter of 2024. You know, when they filed for bankruptcy. All right, way to go. This is Forbes. This is Forbes. They didn't even ask. Oh, man. Okay. So now let's go into this very good piece on Substack by Peabody Street Research. This was in 2022, a year before the Forbes piece. Unbelievable. Inside Charge Enterprises, an FBI sting operation, penny stock promotion, money laundering, and a plethora of fruitless ventures. That's what the Biden administration is pushing. Generally, it's that fraudulent. Specifically, I don't know whether they got federal help, but generally speaking, it's the same climate canard nonsense. Give us your money. We'll give you the snake oil. Dear readers, today we publish, this is 2022, right? This is June of 2022. Today we publish on Charge Enterprises, which was worth $900 million according to NASDAQ. Whoops. The EV charging roll-up, which we believe is blatantly overvalued based on our extensive research. Below, we present the synopsis of our findings along with our report. I wonder why Forbes, now no longer in the hands of Steve Forbes, didn't check on this. You can download this story, by the way. Summary. Now, some of these things are a little bit too, I think, accusatory, but a lot of them really, the dart just hits. It hits perfectly, right above the bullseye. Charge Enterprises owns a portfolio of electric vehicle charging and telecom infrastructure businesses worth a market cap of roughly $900 million. Charge Enterprises claims to be building a network of electric vehicle infrastructure across North America. Records show They're building parking for Amazon vans. Our diligence reveals individuals associated with Charge appeared to have a checkered history of alleged fraud, money laundering, and failed penny stock promotion. Our work unveils a transcript in which the CEO of Charge's predecessor company, GOIP Global, tries to bribe an undercover FBI agent in exchange for investment in GOIP. That was the predecessor company. Just dive in, the water's clean. Before entering the EV business, GOIP transitioned, I hate that use of that term, as a verb, from an energy tech business to growing cannabis. They told investors in 2019 that the company was acquiring a Kenyan cannabis license. The Kenyan government denied ever issuing them a license. We uncover that Charge's founder previously pled guilty to money laundering, declared bankruptcy in 2017, and was involved in alleged pump and dumps. We closely examined each of Charge's five acquisitions and found that they were doing last year and found and the year before and the year before that, because this is 2022. So they just continued doing more acquisitions. We closely examined each of Charge's five acquisitions and found striking problems with various transactions as outlined below. Charge's latest acquisition as of June 30th, 2022, EV Group Holdings LLC, has ties to an individual barred from the SEC due to purported fraudulent investment dealings in 2014 and later the primary recipient of alleged stolen investor funds. Charge's first foray into the EV space through the acquisition of Get Charged has been largely written off despite paying $28 million for it 2 years ago. So they wrote it off as a loss. Per our photographic evidence, Get Charged, that company we just mentioned, has removed its electric charging stations for e-scooters and e-bikes, even though it promised in 2019 that it was building out a network of 3,000-plus chargers. Whoops! The company has now resorted to renting out phone charger stations. Import records show these can be bought off Alibaba's retail website. These charging stations are predominantly located in Boost Mobile stores. Our research indicates they are unlikely to be used and often do not exist. Charge made their first acquisition, PTGI, for less than $1 million. We believed its revenue and razor-thin margins are quickly deteriorating. Ironically, 85%, akin to $451 million of Charge's annual revenue, comes from this low-calorie acquisition. This acquisition has allowed Charge to appear undervalued relative to EV peers from a revenue multiple standpoint. Based on these factors, we believe Charge Enterprises is overvalued and worth less than 15 cents per share, implying downside greater than 95%. That was almost 2 years ago. Okay, now, in my investigation, I want to show you something else that I found that I have never reported, and I'd like to mention it to you. This came out in October of 2023. I didn't know about it, and I feel obligated to give you this information. This comes from Power Engineering. It's an absolute puff piece, or if you're in the porn industry, a puffer piece. The day has arrived. Here are the recipients of $7 billion in federal hydrogen hub funding. Yeah. The Department of Energy made the highly anticipated announcement for the initiative, very highly anticipated, for the initiative aimed at scaling up clean hydrogen production, storage, delivery, and consumption in the U.S. There's one of those government computer-generated images. Everything's green and beautiful, coastline, everything's nice. The U.S. Department of Energy, and by the way, the source of this is the Department of Energy. That's where Power Engineering got its info. They just basically cut and paste The Department of Energy on October 13th named 7 regional clean hydrogen hubs. Where are they for the $7 billion? Yeah, funded by the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the 7 H2 hubs are located around the U.S. Jobs, jobs, jobs. And aim to jumpstart a national network of clean hydrogen producers, consumers, and connective infrastructure. You know, which could happen in real industry if people wanted to invest in it and they thought it was worthwhile. Wait, what? Yeah, because it's the future, future, future. So there's the first one, Appalachian Hydrogen Hub, or the Appalachian Regional Clean Hydrogen Hub. The Appalachian Hydrogen Hub includes West Virginia, Ohio, hi Rob Portman, glad you're retired, Kentucky, hello Mitch, and you got it, Pennsylvania, and will leverage the region's access to natural gas to produce low-cost clean hydrogen. Well, how about we just use the natural gas? Oh, we can't. We can't. I forgot. I'm sorry, because it's somehow evil. And store the associated carbon emissions. Payoffs, payoffs, payoffs. BlackRock, a process known as blue hydrogen. Is that like blue Hawaii? The Arch 2 hub includes a diverse group of partner companies, otherwise known as fascism, including Battelle, Air Liquide, the Chemours Company, French, CNX Resources Corporation, Dominion Energy Ohio, Empire Diversified Energy, EQT Corporation, Fidelis New Energy, a lot of political connections to the Midwest on that one, First Mode, Hog Lick Aggregates, Hope Gas Incorporated, Smoking the Hopium, Independence Hydrogen Incorporated, Key State Energy, MPLX, Plug Power, and TC Energy. They'll do anything they want. And I won't go into the details on some of the other ones. But, oh, look, it's California's the next one. And then you've got Gulf Coast. The Gulf Coast. Houston, Texas. Yes, the Gulf Coast. Awesome. And look, who's involved? Air Liquide, ExxonMobil, Mitsubishi, Chevron. All sorts of them. And the Heartland Hydrogen Hub, oh, by the way, the one in Texas gets $1.2 billion. The one in California gets $1.2 billion. The one up in Appalachia gets $925 million of, you know, your children's money. And, of course, they want to stop natural gas, which is cheaper, and they don't have to play favorites with people. The companies can just do it. But, no, they can't. No, they can't. Then the Mid-Atlantic Hydrogen Hub. Does this sort of sound like the Hunger Games? You know, they got the zones, Pennsylvania, again, doubling up, Delaware and New Jersey. Awesome. Air Liquide's right in there. That's great. Then the Midwest, that includes Illinois, Indiana. Thank you, Governor Pritzker. Indiana, Michigan, they're going to get $1 billion. And by the way, the Mid-Atlantic, $750 million. And then the Pacific Northwest. You know, not like they couldn't get oil in the Pacific Northwest or coal. Shh, quiet, quiet. The Pacific Northwest Hydrogen Hub includes Washington, Oregon, and Montana, and plans to produce clean hydrogen exclusively via electrolysis. All right, and you got a smooth skin face afterwards, too, and that's $1 billion. So it's $7 billion from, of course, the Department of Energy, which, as we know, has been awesome in giving, what was it, Proterra, tons of money, and then Proterra just filed for bankruptcy. All right. So let's go over to this one to round things off with my live readings and news and stuff like that. Get your opinions and then go with one final recorded piece from MRC TV that I got to do. John Miltimore writes this. EPA phase out of gas-powered cars has ominous historic echoes. The Biden administration last week rolled out new emissions regulations that the New York Times said will transform the American automobile market. In what the paper called one of the most significant climate regulations in the nation's history, otherwise known as gangland threats, the EPA, thank you Richard Nixon, is mandating that a majority of new passenger vehicles sold in America be hybrids or EVs by 2032.
Now, they're not directly mandating that. They're doing that by the CAFE standards. The Biden administration and defenders of the policy argue that the EPA's regulation is not a ban. So you'll just charge your car up at a coal power plant. Oh, no, you won't be able to do that either. How about a natural gas? No. You got to wait. We're going to have to invest a bunch into the hydrogen stuff and the so-called carbon capture stuff to go to a bunch of our friends in fascism, you know, the stakeholders, and you'll never be able to buy steak again because we're going to ban cattle as well. But as far as the other, the homonym stakeholder, well, we're all set with us. You're not a stakeholder. No. And you're not even a holder of your own money. We claim all of it and your children's money. You're just slaves. You're cattle. You are the cattle. They're replacing the real cattle. You're the real cattle. The Biden administration and defenders of the policy argue that the EPA's so-called regulation is not a ban on gas-powered cars, since car makers aren't prohibited from producing gas-powered vehicles. Instead, automakers are required to meet a government-mandated average emissions limit across their entire vehicle line, the CAFE standard, to enforce them to produce more EVs and fewer gas-powered cars, to force them to. It's a clever ruse in that it allows the Biden administration to use so-called regulatory power to force automobile manufacturers off of gas-powered vehicles while denying that they're banning them. Whatever one chooses to call the regulation, its purpose is clear. Make no mistake, the Wall Street Journal noted, it is a coerced phase-out of gas-powered cars, otherwise known as central planning. Now, as I mentioned, if you read Rising Sun, you'll see at the back of Michael Crichton's novel, which he wrote, when was it, 1991, maybe, 90, he thanked Al Gore for giving him the tips about how valuable it was for the Japanese to centrally plan their economy to produce computer chips. I mentioned this before, so sorry for the repeat if you're a regular viewer. But within about 8 to 10 years after the Japanese government embarked on subsidizing its chip manufacturing industry, banking, of course, on the central planners' grand vision that was the future for the economy and they had to direct everything to it. Of course, people found out that it was really easy to manufacture chips. They were fairly cheap to manufacture, and that the actual value came in the content of the programs that went on to the chips. Now, there is capacity, of course, to try to come up with faster chips and so on and so forth, but at a certain point, the cost-to-value ratio is no longer there. You can produce them all over the place. People find out how to produce them. It's fairly easy. You can mass-produce them easily, and the Japanese economy completely crashed. Same thing with the Chinese building all those buildings, you know, it employs a bunch of people. It's all central planning. Joe Biden getting engaged with the Taiwanese chip manufacturing, the $6 billion to open up plants here. That's just a gimme so we can get reelected and try to buy votes. That's what's going on. Everybody knows it. Roosevelt was a master of it. And read The Forgotten Man by Amity Schles if you want to get a very good education on that. It's terrific. And there's even a nonfiction, cartoon version, comic book version of it that's out there, of The Forgotten Man by Amity Schles. But, of course, it's all central planning, and there have been many other instances in other countries where central planning has borne its evil fruits. And this is what Mr. Miltimore brings up. He says, a major reason why the White House is forcing this so-called transition of the American automobile market is that Americans aren't voluntarily adopting EVs quickly enough to satisfy the White House. Though Americans purchased more than 1 million EVs last year, that still represents less than 8% of total vehicle sales in the U.S. The government's current target is 56%. If the White House was serious about speeding up this transition, it might consider eliminating the 25% tariff on cars built in China, which accounts for some 60% of global EV sales. But that would be too easy. Despite massive subsidies encouraging consumers to purchase EVs, Americans didn't buy them as rapidly as predicted, causing auto companies to pump the brakes. Ford recently announced it was halving production of its most popular EV, the F-150 Lightning. And, of course, they're even pushing that back now. General Motors, the largest U.S. automaker, and Toyota, the second largest U.S. automaker, followed suit, announcing significant reductions in EV production. The weak demand for electric vehicles, no doubt, has several sources. But the BBC identified a few primary reasons, two of which appear over and over in consumer surveys: price and charging reliability. Ford's F-150 Lightning starts at $50,000, and of course, Milton Moore does note that it was a higher price previously, as we've discussed with Eric Peters. Its popular Mach-E, yeah, starts at $40,000, and that's after a recent $8,100 markdown. GM's top-selling EV, their Lyriq, starts at $59,000 on average. On average, EVs sell for about $5,000 more than similar gas-powered cars, and EV prices are going up, not down, researchers point out. And the cost is now more expensive than filling your tank for a comparable amount of miles to travel. The electricity is now more expensive than the gas. In 2011, the inflation-adjusted price of a new EV was near $44,000. By 2022, that price had risen to over $66,000, said Ashley Nunes, a senior research associate at Harvard Law School, in her testimony to Congress in 2023. This is where he starts to get into a few historical points about central planning. Forcing automobiles company to expand production of their least profitable product lines at the expense of their best performing ones is economic madness. It calls to mind collectivized agricultural policies in the Soviet Union, where central planners embraced the worst farming methods. While Stalin's collectivization of farms in 1929 was a massive failure that led to the deaths of millions, agriculture in the USSR, of course, continued during and after his lifetime. But two distinct sectors emerged: a tiny private sector that produced a bumper crop of food, and a massive collectivized sector that produced very little. The late economist James D. Gwartney, who lived between 1940 and 2024, explained that families living on collectives in the USSR were allowed to farm on small private plots, no more than 1 acre, and sell their produce at a mostly free, in a mostly free market. Historians point out that in the 1960s, these tiny private farms, which accounted for just 3% of the sown land in the USSR, produced 66% of its eggs, 64% of the potatoes, 43% of its vegetables, 40% of meat, and 39% of its milk. Now, folks, let me ask you a question. The eggs, the potatoes, the vegetables, the meat, the milk, are any of those not subject to direct attacks by the central government in Washington, D.C.? And have they not been subject to that for decades? The Soviet Union lives in Washington. We'll be back with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Thanks for listening.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
News update. More than 200 people rescued in Harris County, Texas as rivers flood. Residents being rescued on airboats from their homes. New developments out of the Middle East, where a deal to release Israeli hostages from Hamas captivity is still being negotiated in Egypt. Meanwhile, the Israeli cabinet voting to remove the Al Jazeera TV network from operating in Israel. Back here in the U.S., pro-Palestinian protesters interrupt the University of Michigan graduation ceremony. The demonstration administrators removed on Saturday. President Biden speaking at the White House saying students have a right to protest but not to break the law. Biden scheduled to speak at the U.S. Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. as Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Remembrance Day, begins, a week of events planned to educate this generation as to the atrocities the Nazis committed against Jews. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. This is Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Find us Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on Rumble, Rockfin, and on my Twitter/X. Eastern Time. Share the links and join the conspiracy. Support freedom, one and all. Under the Fourth Amendment, every level of government, if any level of government, whatever agency wants to spy on someone, they can't spy on someone. They have to get a warrant, and it has to be a public warrant, and they have to cite the person they want to search and the item they're searching for. So, to leave a preposition dangling. And as I mentioned on Twitter/X today, it doesn't matter. People are like, well, those protect Americans. It's like, no, that is the way the government is supposed to operate for everybody. It doesn't have an asterisk next to it that says, except for foreigners. It's just, this is how you do it. That's the way it goes. And so it goes. So let's go to some information from Howie Carr, as basically it broke this afternoon from Congress.
Here's the update on what just happened in the House. A group of House Republicans this afternoon tanked the procedural vote to begin debate on a bill to reauthorize the nation's warrantless surveillance powers. Warrantless surveillance. It means they could spy on you without going before court. And you don't, you don't have the right to send in your lawyer. You don't have a Fourth Amendment right against illegal search and seizure, and you don't have a Sixth Amendment right against a Sixth Amendment right to confront your accuser. Other than that, it's only 2 out of the 10 amendments to the Bill of Rights that this thing abrogates.
Well, also it abrogates the Ninth Amendment, because the Ninth Amendment says only what is enumerated is to be considered a power. So, yeah,
yeah, pretty much, yeah. But then again, you know, that was written by a bunch of people, and you never were party to that agreement in the first place. So the entire superstructure of it is foist on you. It is tyranny. As I mentioned to someone, all forms of the polis are tyrannical. They are all tyranny because the polis, by definition, applies itself and its rules to people who don't want to be part of it. If it was only a voluntary group, then, as you know, I'm an anarchist. If it were voluntary, it wouldn't be a political system. It wouldn't be a state. It would be a social agreement amongst consenting people. That's never the state, by definition, axiomatic. Howie's got some more, though. Here we go. There's more. We have a little bit about the economy and Joe Biden with Grace Curley coming in and giving the news. And then there's a very interesting one, and we'll touch on this in a slightly different form later in the show, talking about Israel. Remember how we showed yesterday Lloyd Austin? And he just, I see no evidence of genocide by the Israelis in Gaza. Really? Oh. Have you been struck blind, perhaps? Here is Howie at least heading in that direction towards some of the information about Liz Warren. We've got two cuts here. I'll play this one for you about the economy and Joe Biden, of course.
There was another one I read. I didn't print it out. I think it was from Axios, but it said something about how inflation reigns on Biden's good news parade.
Yes, yes. What's that line? Stop, you know, stop peeing on my face or peeing on my back and calling it rain. Yeah. Yeah, the good news. Thank you, Axios. Yeah, there's always some way to spin it, right? Yeah, you know, this terrible economy is just making the good economy seem terrible. You know, this fist I keep using to hit you is making this fist I keep using to hit you seem like a fist that I keep using to hit you. Let's continue.
I didn't even click on it, but I was thinking, like, what does this parade consist of? What good news is he going on about?
Have you seen the video of him walking around with the Japanese prime minister today?
Yeah, with the sunglasses on.
And he can barely stand.
I think we can barely stand him as well. So let's go to this next piece here. Here we go. Liz Warren, related to Lloyd Austin?
Well, how about Elizabeth Warren the other day, Grace, by the way? It hasn't been in any of the, as far as I can see, it hasn't been in any of the Boston papers. She was at the Islamic Center or something in Boston on Monday.
Yeah.
And they asked her about genocide. Were the Israelis guilty of genocide? And she said, well, she didn't know, but when they do the investigation, yeah, they'll probably be found guilty of genocide.
Okay. So it's a half and half. She's you know, maybe she likes mocha or something like that. Half and half. I don't know what the deal is. But as the Scarecrow said, some people go both ways. So Lloyd Austin was a little more explicit about being a dunderhead mass murderer warmonger. He was a little more forward and out in front of the Senate when he was there yesterday. And he was asked, hey, are you seeing any signs? Because somebody got up and protested. So one of the senators gave Lloyd Austin an easy one and didn't actually follow it up. He wanted Lloyd Austin to basically say what he wanted to be heard, which was, oh, no, there's no signs of genocide. No. So you just got to make sure you don't watch any form of online alternative media with footage actually taken by the people committing the genocide in their pride and hubris. You don't have to talk to anybody who's been on the ground and visited that place and seen the babies being blown apart. You don't even have to look at any of the drone footage, seeing just vast square miles turned to absolute powder. You don't have to think about the starving people that are being starved by Israel and the United States. You don't have to think about the people shot at the food agency tents. You don't have to think about the people from the World Central Kitchen getting blown away by drone strikes in a very clear, directed drone strike against them. You don't have to think about any of those things, but the population being moved away, part of the genocide plan, about the open statements of Benjamin Netanyahu. You don't have to think about any of that. Just be like Lloyd Austin and make sure you know you've got a good check coming from Raytheon. All right, Lloyd, way to go. Well, at least Liz Warren was only half that bad. We'll discuss that in more depth a little bit later. Let's get a little bit rowdy. R-O-W-D-Y. Yes, indeed, my friends. So as far as the FISA stuff goes, I just wanted to give you the word. A group of conservatives, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Thomas Massie, and others, they got together, they fought it, and all it was, as Howie said, it was just a procedural move to sort of delay it and not put it out there for a vote right now. That's pretty much all that they can do. They're going to lose in the end because, of course, everybody else is so constitutional. They care such a flying you-know-what about the Fourth Amendment and the Sixth Amendment and the Ninth Amendment. They just make it up as they go. Again, if you were to walk into the Speaker's office and put your feet up, what would happen to you? I think we've seen what would happen to you on January 6th, didn't we? Yeah. So they seem to say that the offices that the Constitution creates are definitely solid and definitely written down and prescribed by the Constitution. But all the other stuff doesn't matter. As long as they get their salary and they can claim that they have power over you, you know, power created by people you never met, who was foisted on you by the Constitution, as long as they can use that as their beard, you're all set. Totally good. It rocks. It's excellent. Let's head to our second flash story, which actually is going to open up into a larger story. Here is the headline from our great team at Liberty Conspiracy. Meanwhile, Donald Trump speaks up for life, natural rights, and the Constitution. Well, now, it was one of my assistants who did that, obviously, so I'm going to have to talk about that. But I think my assistant got that right. I think so. Oh, wait, that's right. He added the second part. Nope. Spurred by an Arizona Supreme Court ruling, here's the story. Thank you, assistant person. You did exactly what I would have done. Thank you very much. That's super cool of you. I appreciate it very much. Okay, so let's give you the headline, and then we're going to show you some interesting stuff as far as video footage goes. We're going to go back and forth to the story. This comes from the Washington Examiner. Trump declares he would not sign national abortion ban. States that the Arizona Supreme Court abortion ruling went too far. Now, a lot of left-wingers are saying, Trump, you're the one who gave us all these terrible, evil, demonic Supreme Court justices that overturned Roe v. Wade, which made it national, and you sent it back to the states. Now you can't have it both ways there, Trump. Well, here's a little bit more to the story, Mike.
They do have a suspiciously large...
Thank you. Former President Donald Trump declared he would not sign, and this is part of it, this is what spurred this, the Arizona story spurred Trump to say that he would not sign a national abortion ban if the legislation were sent to his desk in a second term. Okay, so working backwards, let's look at what he had to say about the Arizona Supreme Court thing, and then we'll look in more depth at the learning experience this gives us looking at what Trump said about a national abortion ban. Okay, and again, like I said, he's halfway towards understanding the Constitution by saying it should go back to the states. Trump said about Arizona, yeah, they did it. Trump told reporters about the ruling issued in Arizona on Tuesday, prompting an impromptu press conference in Atlanta by him and his staff on Wednesday morning. It's all about states' rights. It'll be straightened out. I'm sure the governor and everybody else are going to bring it back within reason. So that's his stance. He doesn't want a national ban. He's on halfway towards states' rights. Okay. Let's stop there. We're going to go back to the Arizona story, find out the details about the Arizona story. I've recorded some video about that for you. I want to present that to you. We'll give you those details about this 1864 statute in Arizona that the Supreme Court of Arizona found still applies. Okay. Now, what they didn't look at and what they didn't mention is going to be coming up mixed in with our analysis of what Donald Trump is missing here and something that we don't have to miss. Because life is beautiful, and we can absorb new information. So let me go over to what I've recorded for you. You saw a little clip of that in our preview on the Flash. So here it is.
It is a dark day in Arizona.
Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs blamed Republicans for the state Supreme Court ruling on an abortion ban for the case Planned Parenthood versus Mays.
And while it is currently stayed, we continue to live under an unacceptable ban, a law that still strips Arizonans of their personal autonomy and has no exceptions for women who are the victims of rape or incest, or any regard for pregnancy complications.
By executive order, Hobbs said she's removing the ability of county attorneys to prosecute women and doctors for performing abortions. The White House also reacting. In a statement, Biden called the decision dangerous.
So I want to start by addressing some devastating and alarming news from the Arizona Supreme Court. With today's decision, millions of Arizonians will soon face an even more extreme and dangerous abortion ban than they did before.
Even some Arizona Republicans, including Senate hopeful Carrie Lake, blasted the decision. Many pointed to the 15-week ban that former Governor Doug Ducey enacted while in office. On X, he wrote his decision was thoughtful conservative policy. According to the Washington Examiner's very own Tiana Lo Dosher, abortion may be the only matter that could impact Trump's current lead in the swing states.
There's a reason why Kamala Harris is racing to Arizona to capitalize on this. Look, a recent Wall Street Journal poll of all the swing states found that Trump has a double-digit lead across all the swing states when it comes to issues like inflation, the economy, foreign policy. The one area where Biden and Harris have maintained their lead is abortion.
Biden blames Trump for the decision. In his latest campaign video featuring a Texas woman who suffered a miscarriage and couldn't get an abortion as a result of her infection, potentially impacting her future efforts for pregnancy, the ad ends in saying Donald Trump did this. While some Republicans say they're against the decision, evangelicals against abortion praise it. Brent Leatherwood, the acting president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, said candidates who claim to have pro-life views need to articulate a vision for a culture of where babies are saved, mothers are served, and families are supported.
More lives are now protected today than yesterday. This morning's release of the Dobbs Supreme Court decision marks a true turning point for the pro-life movement. It is a turning point that we have continually prayed and advocated for.
Arizona's current law used to rule the state until 1973 when Roe versus Wade was enacted.
All right, so that's the Washington Examiner's coverage of that. And by the way, I really appreciate Inside Rockford, Brian Deb McCartney saying, God evening all. I always love that. That's excellent stuff. And I do, of course, have some quibbles with the way that that was reported. You might have been a little confused by that, too, that story from the Biden administration. The Biden team showing the woman who had a miscarriage, but then she couldn't get an abortion because of the infection. I don't understand that. There seems to be something missing from there. I don't understand. Was she carrying twins? I don't get it. Maybe there's something I just don't know. So I'm not going to speak on that. But one of the things on which I will speak, going back to this article from the Washington Examiner itself, is this. I want to go back to this. This is what the Biden communications director, Michelle Michael Taylor, said, as you saw at the end of that video. Donald Trump owns the suffering and chaos happening right now, including in Arizona, because he proudly overturned Roe, something he called an incredible thing and pretty amazing just today. Biden communications director Michael Taylor said, Trump lies constantly about everything. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's sure is good that you're saying that, because I know you're coming from a real honest place of honesty there. Ron Filipkowski writes, Trump brags about getting Roe overturned and says he disagrees with the Arizona abortion law and says that he expects voters in Arizona and Florida to overturn both laws in their states. We saw what Carrie Lake said. We saw what the former governor had to say about the 15-week thing. Let me ask you a quick question. Let's say you meet somebody and you decide, I want to take that person's life. Is it okay to decide and then take that person's life within 15 weeks of meeting that person? And then after 15 weeks, it's not okay? So now we're going to go back to Donald Trump and what he stated. This is an 1864 statute that even Katie Hobbs, the Democrat of Arizona, openly said she denounced the ruling and she called for the 1864 statute to be repealed. Well,
what the Arizona Supreme Court is not discussing, and what Donald Trump is not discussing, what Joe Biden's team are not discussing, is that in addition to Roe versus Wade being overturned, being the right thing, right, the Dobbs decision, in addition to that, the fact that it goes back to the states isn't the end of the story. And this is the learning lesson that we can take with us to be reiterated. This is the intellectual ammunition we can take with us. And I've mentioned this before. It leaves it up to the states. So the definition of capital murder is supposed to be left up to the states. Hypothetically, within the confines of their state constitutions, you could have any state saying, we're not going to have any laws about life, any statutes that punish people for taking the lives of other people. But if they do have statutes that punish people for taking the lives of other people, the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which wasn't part of the consideration here from the Arizona Supreme Court, and it's the other half of what Donald Trump is not mentioning, and it is clearly not on the radar of any of the people who are saying we have to do this. When Donald Trump says he doesn't want a national ban on abortion, he's not comporting with the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution of the United States already would require that states that have statutes that punish people for taking other human lives would have to equally protect all people, all human beings. This is why they try to term, well, the baby's not a person. That's how they try to get around the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment says that states shall provide the equal protection of their laws. So it just so happens that every state, of course, does have a statute punishing people for willfully taking the lives of other people, and in some cases, accidentally taking the lives of other people. You have manslaughter and things like that. So abortion is the taking of a human life. At conception, what is created a human with distinct DNA, which is now no longer belonging to either the mother or the father. It is its own identity, DNA. And it is being, it is on that great arc from conception to demise called being there. Like that Jerzy Kaczynski novel, right? Chauncey Gardner's. King Collins used to call me Chauncey. So, now that's why she called me Chowder. It changed from Chauncey to Chowder. That's right, she used to call me Chowder as well. But anyway, so Donald Trump, in saying that he doesn't want a national ban on abortion, doesn't get it. Because the Constitution, all of those states, all 50 states, or if you want to include Ukraine and Israel, we'll get those out of it. We'll just stick with the original 50 states that we had a few years ago, right? So the 50 states that we've had for a little while now, every state has a statute that punishes people for taking lives of other people. 14th Amendment, if Donald Trump had a clue, tells people that the United States government would mandate that all those states, the 14th Amendment, means that all those states must protect all humans equally based on their statutes. So fetuses get the protection as well because they are human beings. This is what's being missed here. The Arizona Supreme Court missed it. That's where they could have ruled. They could have said, look, you've got statutes that supposedly punish people for hurting other people and taking their lives. The 14th Amendment requires that we have equal protection under the law. Therefore, killing of a fetus is unconstitutional. It is illegal based on your statutes. Now, if you want to remove the statutes protecting other people outside the womb, go ahead, and then you don't have to worry about your abortion problem because now you don't have to equally apply the statutes because you've removed the statutes. But Donald Trump isn't talking about that. He is completely oblivious, unaware of the fact that the 14th Amendment already is a national abortion ban based on what the states themselves have in their own statute books. If they remove the statutes that punish people for harming other human beings and taking their lives, then they could allow for abortions. But they have to have some standards. The 14th Amendment requires that. And they don't have any standards. They want to pick and choose. And, of course, this debate about, well, rape or incest or whatever, all that stuff is debate outside of what is actually pertinent here, which is it a human life or is it not a human life, and is someone taking an action to kill it? All the other crimes, all the other things that are done, they have no bearing on the action that is being taken against another human being. Period. You can't get around it. There's no logical way to get around it, no matter how many times people want to couch it. The only way that you might be able to couch it, I think, would be in self-defense. Again, if the life of the mother is in danger, truly in danger. Who determines that? I don't know. I think you'd have to leave that up to a jury. So, and again, I don't want to force my neighbor, and this is the anarchist argument here. Even though I understand that life begins at conception, and it goes on that arc, and that any human being interfering with that is taking a human life. Even though I understand that, I also don't want to interfere with my neighbor's life in many other ways. I don't want to force him to pay for the enforcement of what I think is the protection of other people. How much of that is enough? I don't know. Like someone said, if you're going to get the state involved in protecting people, how much protection is sufficient? You're going to have the cop cars going down your street once. Is that a threat? Do you feel safe? Or how about for fetuses, protecting them from mother's decisions? Where do you draw the line there? Another anarchist friend of mine said, yeah, Gart, if we say that the state has a responsibility to protect the fetus from wrongdoing by the mother, and that those statutes must apply if you're going to be harming someone else or taking the life of someone else or risking the life of someone else, just like raising children, where does the state step in? How about the fetus? He says you could get to the point where the state could dictate that the mother has to have 3 meals a day, take her vitamins, stop smoking, doing this, doing that. He goes, you can get into that sort of minutia for interhuman relationships that we would never do to each other in real life. But through the state, they'll do it. Because they say they're protecting people. And, of course, the undergirding problem of that is that they're always assuming that they can take somebody's property in order to create this enforcement force. That's the underlying immoral predicate. You don't start there. And then you let voluntary people gather with each other and try to figure those things out. Thanks for listening to Free Talk Live and Liberty Conspiracy. Keep fighting for freedom, all. This is Gardner Goldsmith. Really appreciate you tuning in.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.